So did you get yourself a good pair of walking shoes?
Well, they're going to hurt as all hell, but for a Manolo slingback, I'll risk it.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 388, recorded on June 11th, 2015.
Edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 221st episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and includes gaming flashback.
No, it doesn't include a gaming flashback.
Well, that sometimes it does. Well, sometimes it does. But not this week.
Well, it's June 11th, which means...
E3!
Yeah, E3 next week, which is cool.
I'm already exhausted.
So did you get yourself a good pair of walking shoes?
Well, they're going to hurt as all hell, but for a Manolo slingback, I'll risk it. my regular sneakers, I suppose, will be just fine.
Yeah. And now I have the Hells Angels outside driving by, so...
Oh, lucky you.
Just a lot of motorcycles. I don't know what they are. But yeah, I'm going to be at E3, and once again, E3 was pissy about me going there. Apparently, neither my TV show nor my podcast is big enough for them. So I had to...
Yeah, I kind of heard that E3 was run by size queens.
But they're giving away 5,000 free tickets to people who aren't in the industry, just fans.
What? So, yeah. Well, you know what? Because you got to build buzz somehow.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, it just seems backwards to me because I am an industry professional. And, you know, I am not a quote-unquote fan. I mean, I enjoy my video games, but I'm a little bit more than a fan.
Well, I mean, and what kind of surprises me is that, you know, this is exactly what E3 started for. It was specifically for store buyers and for the media to, you know, inform the public about what was going to be available for the upcoming Christmas season as far as the video games industry was concerned. And I guess that giving away, passes to
5,000 people,
to 5,000 members of the gaming public. It's word of mouth advertising, which in the age of Facebook and Twitter is almost just as valuable as some other sources.
And yet somehow my word of mouth is not louder than their word of mouth. I don't get it.
I have no idea.
But I'm still going because, you know, I have my ways.
I just filled out the form when they told me to because I'm a game designer and I do this for a living. And they're like, oh, yeah, you should probably come. See what your peers are doing.
So you know what we could do is we could actually have a live podcast at E3, preferably when we're having lunch or something.
We really could, not for nothing.
And you know, the thing is that, you know, we'd have the reason why I want to do it is because it's atmospheric. You know, you hear the sounds of the show behind you or in the background, you know, and that sort of thing. And I am bringing my 4K handycam with me, so I'm going to be trying to do what E3 is like when you're there, you know, in 4K. I can hear you typing.
Well, that's because I had to type something.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, you know, it'll be fun. I have my, you know, I'll be able to use my frickin' digital MP3 recorder. I've used it like 5 times in the 3 years I've owned it. I don't even know if I've used it that much. It's just going to waste. You know, I got to use it somehow. So... I have to make sure that I have the way to charge it because it doesn't have the standard micro USB charging port. I forgot what this... It's a USB, but I don't think it's the micro USB.
I mean, it kind of is just hitting me right now, all of the preparation that I still feel like I have to do. It's like, okay, where's my convention bag? Where's my charger? Where's my battery backup? Like, oh dear God.
But here's the thing is that, you know, at least you don't have to travel very far, you know.
That's true. I do live in Los Angeles now.
Yeah. And if certain things go well, maybe I'll be living in Los Angeles too, or at least in Irvine. We'll see.
Well, here's hoping.
Now, for those of you who don't know, and you wouldn't know because I didn't mention it on the podcast, I have a couple of E3 press briefing invites, Microsoft, Bethesda, and Electronic Arts. Although, you know, the thing is that Microsoft and Electronic Arts are joined at the hip. Because here's the thing. You go to the Microsoft press E3 briefing, you leave, and you walk like 100 feet, and you're at the EA press briefing. You know, it's they do their things together, so you just do, okay, that was fine, let me just walk. Oh, here's EA. So, let me check my cell phone here, because I do have my schedule of this, some of the stuff that I'm going to be attending. I know I'm going to be checking out the new Deus Ex.
That's okay. Right.
And I'm going to be going to IndieCade. Are you interested in IndieCade?
I've been.
Okay. I'm going to White Moon. Oh no, that's the party. Deep
you
Silver.
You got a party invite, and you didn't add me as your plus one. I'm insulted.
I should. Well, I'm going to go to Deep Silver. I don't know what I forgot. I didn't write down what I'm going to be seeing there. I'm going to be also, you know, there's D&D Sword Coast Legends. I'm not quite sure what that is all about. I don't know if it's a game or a tabletop or what. You're into it's a tabletop role playing, right?
Yes, I've been playing every week as part of the Adventurers Guild ever since President's Day.
So,
although I think I may have some slightly more important news. They just dropped Orange is the New Black Season 3 on Netflix like half an hour ago, and they dropped it 3 days early.
Wait, you mean no longer showing it?
No, they released Season 3.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Early.
Yeah,
it's supposed to come out like next weekend, I think.
Okay, so Sword Coast Legends is an Xbox One PlayStation 4 game. Okay. So it's a D&D licensed video game. That's cool. Some other stuff, I'm not going to get deep into it, but I haven't, you know... I bought the third edition D&D stuff a long time ago. Or was it three and a half?
Three and a half was the good one.
Wizards of the Coast bought it and released 3.0, right?
I think so.
Okay, and then they had 3.5.
Right, TSR was 2. Yeah, TSR was 2. 3 was Wizards.
Anyway, I didn't...
4 was Hasbro.
Well, the thing is, I didn't bother with anything beyond the second edition in any serious way. I just, you know...
The second edition was amazing.
Yeah, and
the third edition,
I had,
even more so.
The I
fourth
have
edition
the,
sucked donkey dick.
The thing is that I have... somewhere I have all the second edition books on a CD-ROM. Which is really neat, because you know what's really great about reading those books? You know, like the Halfling book, and the Mage book, and the Elf book... Is that
I really like the Elf book, by the way.
Is that they all of them have so much flavor text, so you get a real sense of the mood, the stories, and all that stuff. You know, reading them really gets your creative juices flowing, thinking, oh, you know what? I could write a Halfling story based on a lot of the information that's in here, you know, or I could write an Elf book, you know, some fiction, you know, based on or a module if you want to create a D&D module. You know, and it's that sort of thing which really gets your juices cooking, you know? Which is why I'm considering starting to delve into the World of Darkness, because they have amazing writing. So, although, I think I want the old World of Darkness, you know, which is the Requiem, not, is it the Masquerade?
Vampire the Masquerade?
Is the old World of Darkness, and Requiem is the new one.
Yeah, it's really,
right?
Really old.
Because Requiem is just so depressing, because basically it's taking place in Gehenna, which is the vampire end of the world, you know? And, it's the end of the world for everybody, but the vampires call it Gehenna. I don't know what the Garu, a.k.a. werewolves, call it. I think they just think Bella is the end of the world, so... By the way, going off on yet another tangent, I watched the Honest trailers for the Twilight films.
I haven't even seen the Twilight films. So the Honest
trailers. I was good. No, it's good because you get to see what's in it, and you get to see CGI babyface Renesmee, however you pronounce it. You know, the creepy CGI faced girl, and how no one notices that she's gone from newborn to 8 years old in 6 months. So, you know, the old soap opera aging syndrome. You know, wow. The reason why we're going on all these tangents is because it's kind of light news because E3 is here, and all the news is going to be at E3 itself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, there's some weird stuff, and the first news item is weird, but you know, I don't know. I enjoy talking about genre stuff on the podcast with you. It's fun.
that's because I'm a fun person to chat with.
Yeah, you know, at some point we have to do the episode in which we don't talk about video games at all, and I have this little random thing which is going to pick four topics for us to discuss, right? Some of them are you topics, some of them are me topics, like here I have your favorite, what's it called, My Little Pony character, your favorite Disney princess, and I have answers for at least that one. I don't know anything about My Little Pony, so probably dominate, and there's some me stuff too. So when that episode rolls around, it'll just be taking a break and discussing stuff that's out of school, because we did that. Well, I didn't do it, but you did that with Jennifer and Jordan on Doctor Who.
That's true.
You know, and people really enjoyed that. We got some feedback on doing a Doctor Who show. And the thing is, I don't watch Doctor Who. I mean, I'll watch an episode every so often, but I don't pay attention to it. You know, I don't say go nuts over what Rose is doing. Or what she's not doing, or what she can remember.
I'm sorry, but there is something wrong with that girl's face now, ever since she world hopped.
You see, there's a lot of stuff that we could mine, you know?
Poor Billie Piper got car accident, God bless her, but it's just like, ugh. I didn't know that that's what it was, and I was just like, what the hell is wrong with her face?
But you know, wait, didn't Mark Hamill have a nasty accident, and he came out fine?
Yeah, exactly, and that's how Return of the Jedi starts off, with him like looking all
messed
up.
No, it's Empire Strikes Back, you're thinking.
Whatever,
of.
I mean, whatever.
With the Wampa, so. Yeah.
No, it was the third one.
No, it was the second one. The second one was him, and he had to, his
they start off on
face
Hoth,
was messed
the
up.
Planet.
He was on Hoth in the second one, and the Wampa beat him up. And then you see him in the little tube there getting fixed, and what is basically a bikini shot of Mark Hamill. What's funny is that his accident came before he filmed the Star Wars Holiday Special, and in that, he has pancake makeup you wouldn't believe, making him look like a geisha. You know, there's so much stuff just to hide his, you know, his facial stuff. Of course, Carrie Fisher is stoned out of her mind, but, you know, that's a complete other thing. So, you know, we should discuss the Star Wars Holiday Special at some point.
Oh my God, B. Arthur gave the most touching song I've ever seen as part of the
it became
Wars
even
Holiday
sadder
Special.
After she died too. Good night, but not goodbye. Yeah, after she died, that song became really touching.
Oh my God, it was really good.
Yeah, and it's the only thing that Harvey Korman did in the entire thing that didn't make me want to slap him several
times. Oh my
God,
it's the only redeeming part of the entire of the entire special. By the way, is forthrightness a word?
Forthrightness, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-oh, he's writing a complaint letter now.
No, I'm
to
not.
The owners
posting,
of this podcast.
I was just posting a Facebook status.
Okay. Anyways, what have you been playing lately, Paul?
Well, I just got back from New York, and I haven't really I've been a little off.
Yeah.
I feel like I was playing something really awesome though, and I've forgotten what it was.
Was it a mobile game?
No, I don't think so. I'll come back to me. I'll think of it.
Okay. As for me, I've been playing a lot of Monopoly on the Xbox One, just to get myself. And you know, when you're playing with no house rules, it's kind of brutal. You know, I didn't realize how much I depended on the tax money on free parking to survive.
Oh, but the tax money on free parking makes the game go on for another hour.
No, well, yeah, but that's because you get knocked out fairly quickly if you don't get the right rolls. And I don't know. I should have been more aggressive building houses on the light blues, which is Oriental Vermont and Oriental Vermont and Connecticut. In Connecticut, yeah. I also had the greens, but no one landed on them, and I didn't have enough money to build houses on that either. So yeah, I mean, you know, Eurogames has spoiled me. I mean, Monopoly is basically die rolls. You know, you can win by having lucky die rolls, but you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's an entire article about why people should stop playing Monopoly altogether. But quite frankly, that game is decided within the first 20 minutes, and the rest of it is just holding your friends hostage for 3 hours.
Well, the thing is that there are books on probabilities and on, you know, on what the best properties are, right?
Right.
So getting land.
But that game is always decided within the first 20 minutes.
You know, maybe that can just thing. The good thing about playing against computer opponents is that you can just shut them. What's it called? Just restart, and the computer opponents won't complain when you rage quit and you start over. Anyways, we're gonna move on to gaming news. Take it away, Paul.
Circus. The $100 headset uses controversial electric shocks to make you a better gamer, and this comes to us from VentureBeat. One London-based company is hoping to use electric shocks to make better gamers. Today, FOC.us announced Moves, its new $100 headset that targets the prefrontal cortex of the brain with electrical shocks in a process known as transcranial direct current stimulation, TDCS for short. Essentially, it uses small currents of electricity ranging from 0.1 mA to 2.0 mA. Ooh, that's a lot. To stimulate parts of the brain that focus. For over the last 10 years, many studies have discussed the benefits of TDCS on the brain, including potential boosts to memory, problem solving, and mathematical performance. It's still a controversial area of research, though, despite its use cutting the U.S. Air Force pilot training time in half, as some studies refute that its treatment provides any benefits. Certain groups of people should avoid using Moves and any other TDCS devices, though, according to Oxley, specifically people with epilepsy, brain lesions, bipolar depression, or severe heart disease, and people under the age of 18.
Yeah, because, you know, when you have video games, you don't want people under the age of 18 playing them. I mean, the idea of playing a game in which you're getting electroshocks to your brain.
Well, I mean, do teenagers really need any faster hand-eye coordination? I mean, come on.
Or bipolar depression. I've seen people get depressed when they lose a video game, but not that depressed. I don't know. It just seems so wild and out there. You know, it reminds me of that scene from Never Say Never Again, if you ever saw that, in which the players playing this game would receive electric shocks whenever one of their countries were killed.
Right.
And, you know, if you held on to it too long and you didn't let go, you could actually get killed. So it's a Bond film. What do you expect? By the way, about Never Say Never Again, it has the best Bond villainess, and that is Fatima Blush. I love her character. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, I strongly suggest you see it. Barbara Carrera steals the show. So,
Carmen Carrera steals the show?
Barbara Carrera.
No. Sorry.
The greatest rapture of my life was afforded to me in a boat by James Bond.
Yes. I've heard that about you.
No. Anyway, what do you think? Would you put this thing on?
I don't know. It sounds a little one too over the cuckoo's nest for me.
Well, you're going to need one of those things to bite down on, you know, that prevent you from biting your tongue off when you receive electroshock therapy. I don't know. How strong are these shocks anyway? I mean, anything that might induce epilepsy may want to stay away from. I mean, kids who didn't have epilepsy were having epileptic attacks watching Pokemon like 20 years ago. You remember that?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? If anybody didn't know, the phrase epilepsy is really similar to the phrase fibromyalgia. Which is just like, oh, you're getting pain. We don't really know why. We know it's not cancer.
Yikes.
Like, so it's like epilepsy can be caused or triggered by anything. Well, not by anything, but by any number of things. Our understanding of it is fantastically incomplete. So you could have anybody can have an epileptic fit.
Well, remember, there are two types of epileptic. There's grand mal, and oh, I forgot what the other one. Something else mal.
Petit mal,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that grand mal, you know, ironically, you don't see much of that, you know, when someone has epilepsy. You think of them shaking their limbs and all that stuff. A grand mal, that basically puts someone into a catatonic state for the most part. You know, it's like they just stop and they just stare straight ahead and they don't move. They're it's like you just froze them in place, you know, because it's sort of like if you remember the movie Awakenings, you know, those patients who required L-DOPA.
Yes.
Because what happens is that they were moving so fast that it seemed like they were staying still, you know. But when they were able to focus, you know, like have a ball thrown to them, that gave them an action and they would do a normal action. So L-DOPA slowed down their it wasn't epilepsy. It was a narcolepsy that was – I forgot the technical terms. It was sort of like a narcolepsy that affected them. So anyway, Awakenings is a great movie, although it's also a depressing one at the end. So just a warning, it does not have a really happy ending. I don't know if it's a downer ending, but I know it doesn't make people happy. So
okay.
Have you seen it?
Nope.
Oh, well that's one you should see. It's based on the book by Oliver Sacks, who also did the book "The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Coat Rack for His Wife."
Huh.
Or a wife? No, it was a coat rack for a wife. Yeah, about some of the really fascinating mental diseases. And by the way, Oliver Sacks himself had a mental disease, and that's why he became a neurologist. You know, so a psychoneurologist.
I don't even know what you're talking anymore.
He's still alive, Oliver Sacks. Okay, I'm just gonna say, rent the movie Awakenings with Robin Williams and Robert De Niro, and Julie Kavner as his assistant. Who else was in it? Oh, I think it was Donald Sutherland was the was one of the head doctors who's giving a thing on L-DOPA. I know we're going way off thing, but you know, whenever you talk about headsets that give you electric shocks, it's just. You tend to go out of off topic on that because it's just...
I don't know. I'm flashed back to my days working on Broadway and, I mean, Gary Sinise getting electrocuted. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It was really upsetting.
Yeah. Well, did you see the movie with Jack Nicholson? Hey! Oh, no, he wasn't in Awakenings. Did you see the movie with Jack Nicholson?
No.
Okay. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Oculus unveils final model of the Rift, and it's due in 2016. At a press conference held earlier today, and by earlier today we mean June 11th, today, which we're recording this podcast, the Oculus... The Facebook-owned Oculus debuted the consumer market model of the company's long-in-development Rift VR device. The company announced that the Rift would be available the first quarter of 2016, but did not offer a purchase price. I have to ask you a question. Did you ever try out the Oculus Rift?
I did, and it was great for what it was. I don't particularly think that use of the Oculus Rift or compatibility with that hardware would make me want to buy a game.
Save your opinion. I just was wondering if you actually used it. That's all. Because we can discuss this right after the article's over. Oculus. Okay. Oculus CEO Brendan Uribe outlined the many improvements made to the Rift to make it ready for a mass audience. The presentation emphasized the improved comfort and adjustability of the Rift, calling to mind the old aphorism that the best technology, quote-unquote, disappears into the background while it's being used, getting out of the way and letting users focus on the content instead of the device. And I can't see you, but I already know that you're nodding your head. yes, in agreement with that. Uribe also explained the technical upgrades over the previously available developer models, including increased resolution, reduced motion blur, integrated audio, and better head tracking that uses a camera packed in the headset. Uribe brought the company founder Palmer Luckey. Wow, that's a great name, Palmer Luckey, to the stage to debut the Oculus Touch, a pair of wireless motion tracked controllers. Ribe also announced a surprising input device that will come packed in with a Rift, a wireless Xbox One controller. The head of Microsoft's Xbox division, Phil Spencer, took the stage to give an overview of the new partnership between the two companies. On top of the controller pack in, Spencer stressed the Oculus Rift's native out-of-the-box compatibility with Windows 10. He also announced that players would be able to utilize the Oculus alongside the Xbox One, Xbox 10 game streaming feature that Microsoft discussed back in January. This sounds cooler than it is because, you know, here's what it is. You'll be able to stream your Xbox One games from your living room to your Windows 10 PC and then put on your Oculus headset where you'll be seated in a virtual living room where you can then play the Xbox One game on a virtual TV screen. That's bizarre. I mean, you know, I mean, I guess if you're in the other room, you know, and you need to be, you want to play your Xbox One game in the other room, it's strange. But one thing that I have to notice is I got an email from E3 today, or at least from ESA, and they listed all the people who are gonna, you know, have booths there, and I found it really interesting that this year, there's going to be a VR section to itself. Now, we discussed this last week, you know, about VR, AR, you know, and someone saying that it's going to be huge, you know, it's going to be like the mobile, and, you know, people better not miss the boat on it. And, you know, this might be an indication of why they said that, because there's going to be a lot of... I got an invite to test one of the other VR devices. You know, okay. So you see where this is going. I think there's going to be a huge competition now. And Paul, you're starting to bring this up, you know, midway through this article. What do you think the factors will be to make a brand, one of the VR brands, attractive to the public? Aside from name recognition, I mean, everybody knows Oculus and Rift. You know,
it's got okay. All right.
Aside from price too. I mean, aside from that,
it's got to be worth my time. It's got to be a quality product which is handled in a costly and effective enough way to add some real game value. You know, putting the original Zelda in 3D doesn't do anything. Like, I can play the original Zelda myself. It has to utilize that functionality in a new and interesting way.
Well, I think the games that will really benefit from this are first-person games, not necessarily shooters, but first-person games like Fallout or Elder Scrolls, or say, you know, what would really benefit and what I would want to see for a VR game is a survival horror game. Because I think turning your head to look to your sides or look behind you, you know, in an environment where you have to be careful because something might, you know, kill you, you know, something supernatural, I think that would be the best use of the VR. You know, something that makes you nervous and have to look around. You know, something that makes you paranoid. I think that would be a good use of VR. Paul?
Yeah. I don't have an additional thought there.
Yeah. But it's also
I can't disagree with you.
Yeah, you also made
it. Which is as far, I think, as I ever go in agreeing with you. It's to just not publicly disagree.
You made an interested noise when I said that it had out-of-the-box compatibility with Windows 10.
Well, I mean, that's kind of going back to what I was saying. You know, you have to make it easy for people to use. You have to have a low barrier to entry in this terms as, you know, you're using the equipment and price point. And, like, that's one of the things that comes with adding value. So, okay, they're throwing their support behind Windows 10. Hopefully that operating system won't suck and it won't be a mistake.
Here's the thing. Now, they said that it would be compatible with the X. They said, Microsoft said that the environments between the Xbox One and the Windows 10 would be virtually, you know, identical. And not identical, but, you know, somehow 100, you know, very compatible. Like, they were talking about how Windows 10 apps would work on the Xbox One and that sort of thing.
Right.
And I'm wondering if there's going to be a big announcement. One of the big announcements at Microsoft's E3 briefing is talking about
Windows 10 coming to Xbox?
No, about how the Oculus VR is going to be compatible with the Xbox One. Because remember, there's also a PC gaming E3 briefing.
Okay.
Which I think is going to discuss all the stuff that it can do with Windows 10, right?
Right.
But I'm wondering for the Microsoft press briefing, which is going to be focusing on their console hardware, if they're going to have some big announcement about the Oculus Rift. Because the one thing that the Wii did so many years ago, let's see, when did the Wii debut? 2006? Was it 2006 or 2007? 2006, right? Almost 10 years ago, you know, almost a decade ago, in the last decade, you know, Nintendo opened everybody's eyes on alternative input, you know, with the Wiimote, you know.
This is
all
true.
Of a sudden, everybody wanted to get the next, you know, the next alternative input, you know. And, you know, Xbox, they went with PlayStation Eye and Kinect. And I'm wondering if Microsoft is saying maybe the Oculus Rift. And the thing is, one of the things about the Oculus Rift is there's no way they're going to bundle it with the standard Xbox One hardware, right? I mean, they did remove the Kinect, but, you know, this is something they say, well, yeah, we know it's going to be a boutique item that, you know, Xbox One users might use with it, right? Because, you know, boutique items can survive, right? You know, like getting that, you know, that HD TV when HD TVs were rare, or getting a 4K TV now. Not something that you want to force people to buy with your console, which is what Microsoft did with Kinect. You know, which is why it had a slow start, because people did not want to be forced to use a boutique item.
Well, I mean, there's just so many places to take your recent comments. The WiiWare is a good example of something that's really intuitive to use. It was cheap to produce, and the entire cost of the system was low, which is what allowed it to permeate the market so quickly.
It became the Beanie Baby of 2007. You know, no one can get one, and everybody wanted one. And it also crossed, you know, platform. It, like people said, grandma can use it. You know,
right? It was really simple to use. But the greatest success we've heard on the Wiimote were games like tennis and bowling.
Yeah.
You know, so again, if we try to create just a new peripheral, and peripherals are not new, by the way. Like they've been gaming since ColecoVision.
Well, the thing, hey, look, we've had the steering wheel, you know, the steering wheel adapter since the beginning of time.
Right. I mean, so it's not going to be the, you know, some new doodad is not going to be the make or break of a console. You have to do something with that piece of technology.
But here's the thing. One thing about the Oculus Rift is that it hit the zeitgeist, right? Everybody became fascinated with the Oculus Rift. They became, ooh, look at this, pretty, you know, virtual reality, and it works. You know, it wasn't just that it was a VR device, because it had been VR devices long. I'm not even thinking about the Virtual Boy. I'm thinking about stuff that came after that you could use with the computer, right? The fact that it was crowdsourced in Kickstarter gave it this sort of for the people sort of vibe, you know, and it became this thing unto itself, much like the Wii became a thing unto itself. I mean, people talk about Oculus Rift. They may never get one, but they're talking about it. So I think if Microsoft announces this at the Xbox briefing, you know, it may be more, look what it can do, more than actually we want you to get this, you know. I mean, it's sort of like, we've got this. Check it out. Look how cool this is. You may not be able to get it, but if you wanted it, you could get it.
My prediction is that Oculus Rift has already passed the point of becoming a slave to its own brand.
Keep in mind, people already bought it. I mean, crowdsourcing is basically, you know, pre-ordering. I mean, people are going to be getting their devices when it finally comes out in early 2016. They already have people paid for it.
But how long have we been waiting for it? How long ago was that kickoff?
You know, I think it was 2012. Maybe 2013.
I mean, we've already been waiting for 3 years, and we're going to wait another two.
But people are going
to
be getting them.
No matter what happens, it's not going to be able to live up to the the anticipation that it's already created.
You know, but that's not true, because people have...
My official prediction is that it's going to be a disappointment to the marketplace.
Well, people have already demoed it and loved it. So that's the thing, is that every time it's brought out in public, it keeps on getting positive word of mouth, right? And the thing is that people,
in very controlled circumstances,
it's already sold. You know, people have already a couple hundred thousand. I don't know how many people. It was like 50,000 or 100,000 people already bought it. You know, they're just waiting for it to come in.
You can disagree with me, but this is my prediction. I think it's going to be very disappointing in the marketplace. I think that people are giving it positive reviews as long as it's still under very controlled conditions. But when it's bring it to your home, do what you want with it. Play it in whatever way you normally play games, I think it's going to be disappointing in the marketplace, because people are already expecting the world from it.
But here's the thing.
It's been so long.
It's not just the Rift, though. Like I said, there's an entire section at E3 that's going to be devoted to VR. And we have to go back to the person saying, hey, look, this is the next big thing. You know,
well,
capital
I mean,
B, pack, capital T.
I mean, yeah, but fire has been the next big thing, and the wheel was the next big thing. I mean, you can only be right so many times. We've been saying it's the next big thing since forever. My point is, I think that Oculus is very much in danger of having been in production too long and is going to screw itself for that reason.
I don't know, because, like I said, people already bought it. It's not...
Right.
You know, they're... Here's the thing. They already made a couple $1 billion selling it to Facebook.
Right.
You know, I think they already won.
Selling it to Facebook. Is it going to be useful for a Facebook user?
Yeah, that's the other thing is that we still haven't heard any specific plans for Facebook. You know?
I don't know. I don't get excited when I hear Oculus. Okay. I just don't.
Well... It reminds me of the Divinyl song, you know, when I think about you, I touch myself. You know, I guess when you think of Oculus, you don't touch yourself.
Why do you always got to bring it to a weird, fucked up place, Jonah?
I don't know. It just popped in my head. You know, the way you said that, you know. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Paul.
I am not an Oculus fanboy. They're going to have
I'm not an Oculus fanboy either. What I am is very intrigued to see where VR is going. Like I said... I'm going
to
be trying a virtual reality.
I don't think where the category is going. I don't think that Oculus is going to be the category.
I'm
going to
be demoing a VR device. However, it's not Oculus, you know? So
right.
We'll see.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. I don't think Oculus is going to be the flagship entry in the category.
We'll see. You know it's going to be the flagship entry of the category? Whichever one is the least expensive. That's the one that's going to be flagship.
Didn't I say that like 10 minutes ago?
I didn't hear you say it. I thought you were just saying about Oculus, I didn't hear you talk about price. But
no, you asked me what would be an important consideration for making something successful in this marketplace. I said, well, number one is price.
Yeah.
Number two is you got to do something with it. You have to make it easy to use. Somebody play this tape back for him. I need an intern. Intern.
Well, that would indicate that you're staying longer than episode 400. See, you're not going to hire an intern for 12 weeks.
Get me an intern and we'll talk. Hey, 12 weeks is a perfectly viable internship.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Paul.
I could have sworn I just read that one.
Wait, I did the Oculus.
Right. Xbox One exclusives Crackdown, Scalebound, and Quantum Break will skip E3 in favor of GamesCon, and this comes to us from Dual Shockers. Today, Xbox head honcho Phil Spencer wrote on Microsoft's official news site about the company's plans for E3 and beyond. And it looks like quite a few anticipated games are going to be chalked among the and beyond section, more precisely at GamesCon. We've decided to save some of our most eagerly awaited future titles for GamesCon in August. Rest assured that titles like Crackdown, Quantum Break, and Scalebound will be front and center at GamesCon, along with new game reveals for both Xbox One and Windows 10.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Gamescom is in Germany, and that one does have a public offering. I mean, there's one day, if I remember correctly, that's everybody, come on in. If you paid your ticket, come on in. And they have, for a couple of days, it's not quite a week, I think it's like 4 or 5 days, they get 300,000 visitors. That's a lot. And I'm wondering about the delay. I mean, here's the thing. I think what they mean by not be at E3, I think that what they're saying is they're not going to have any demos on the floor. I'm willing to bet you that they're going to at least mention them and show some trailers at the briefing, you know. So, Paul.
I'm just kind of curious as to why. You know... Has development been delayed for some unannounced reason? Are they trying to, you know, show E3 that they don't need this to pay for this kind of space by, you know, supporting another con? I don't know.
Well, here's the thing.
It's mildly interesting, but more mysterious than anything else.
Here's the thing. Now, you know how hard it is to make a vertical slice. And for those of you who don't know, a vertical slice is a demo. However, it is really restricted. so that you really can't go off the rails too much. It's a limited demo that people show with cons and all that stuff to show what the game can be like, right? But it isn't always indicative of what actual gameplay is going to be. Some famous examples of that is Halo 2 and Watch Dogs, you know, in which people were really wowed by the demos, but when the actual game came out, it's like, wait, I thought you could do this. No, just, you know, we know you saw it in the demo, but nope. So I wonder if the vertical slice demo isn't quite ready yet.
I don't know. See, that's what I said. It's more mysterious than intriguing.
But, you know, the only thing it's disappointing for is people who are actually going to E3. You know, I mean, people are at home are just going to watch a live stream, and they're going to watch a live stream at Gamescom and see what's there. And, you know, I really want to go to Gamescom, but the problem is it's not in this country. Can't afford the ticket to Germany unless someone pays me.
And yeah, no one's gonna pay me. See, that kind of happens sometimes.
Yeah, but, you know, it'll be interesting. Were you a fan of Crackdown, or?
Nope, not really.
Okay, it was basically the Incredible Hulk game, except with cops instead of the Hulk. So Quantum Break is interesting. It's the next game by the same people who made Alan Wake, and it's dealing with time manipulation. And Scalebound, I think it's that Platinum game where the guy is riding a dragon and fighting gigantic monsters. So basically it's like you're on a dragon and you're doing Monster Hunter. You know. By the way, if I get a 3DS, I think the game I'm going to get with it is a Monster Hunter game. Because that genre of game intrigues me, and I haven't tried it yet. Do you play Monster Hunter type games?
Like Pokemon? No, I haven't played that since college.
No. Pokemon is a completely it's more of an RPG. In Monster Hunter, it's sort of like the Deer Hunter version of an RPG, in which you have to, you know, stalk your major prey, and they're randomly generated and all that stuff. I don't know. It's always intrigued me. So. Anyway, that's the news for this week, but we do have listener feedback. Go ahead,
Paul. Woohoo, listener feedback. Show me the love, people.
Go ahead, Paul.
From AlphaShard, great episode and nice to see quick turnarounds for this. At IndieDev, not sure there is much to add that hasn't already been said. I hope that Dev can fix his situation. As Paul was pointing out, it did seem like he was very unprepared for managing this. I still feel that this is a sign to be cautious with Kickstarter, but not outright abandoning it. As Jonah pointed out, there were worse cases. At Fallout 4, I'm looking forward to this game. Also, Fallout series wasn't always first-person perspective. It used to be isometric like Wasteland 2. So for some, Wasteland 2 is like having Insomniac isometric Fallout 3. Yes, I liked the trailer. The color scheme seems so much more alive than in Fallout 3 and Fallout
New Vegas.
I think I prefer a voiced protagonist, so I'm looking forward to that as well. Yeah, and if someone could send that note to the Zelda development people, I think we'd all appreciate it.
Well, Link doesn't talk. He still doesn't talk?
Link doesn't talk.
Well, you know, that's a good question of the week. Someone else had it, so we're gonna copy them. Which do you prefer, a silent protagonist or a protagonist that's talking? They both have their pros and cons. So, Paul, you can say which one you prefer after the letter. So,
okay. Getting back to AlphaShard, at Steam Returns, I can see how this can easily be abused. However, I too have a lot of games on my list, some I want to play and some that I don't have any intention of playing, but got through offers or through Humble Bundle. Also, when games start being like $2, it's really harder to feel that need to resist. Now, here's a question, since it's been a while for the question of the week.
There we go. I'm ripping off AlphaShard.
you're stealing AlphaShard's question, damn it. All right, so we're going to go with AlphaShard's question. AlphaShard asks, which would we prefer, a voiced protagonist, one that talks...
Or at least one that talks via text.
Or at least one that talks via text. Or a blank slate, like Chrono, Link, or Mario.
Wait, but Mario does talk. He just doesn't talk often.
It's me, Mario.
Yeah, but
Thank you very much for playing my game. Yeah. Who's next?
Voice protagonists, you know, I think of like people like Hawk and Shepard. And so, you know, it's tough. But I think I'll go with voice protagonist. you know, because I'm such a huge fan of Mass Effect, and I enjoy listening to Mark Meer and Jennifer Hale talk and do their voice acting. And the problem with having a blank slate like Gordon Freeman is that at some point it becomes really, really weird when people are talking to you and you're not talking back. You know, it's sort of like you're mute. I mean, if you're going to have a protagonist that doesn't talk, have everybody not talk.
Well, you know?
If everybody pantomimes, it's
Chrono
less
Trigger
weird.
Was a fun enough game, and there were never any lines for Chrono the Hero. But that's kind of like, it just assumes that you said this and then people respond to you based on player actions. So you don't have to like, so it wasn't like a menu dialogue thing. We had to pick which line you were going to say. You would just do something and they would know what your response was. But personally, I think I kind of agree with your thought on having a voiced protagonist, but I think that I would want to see them handled, like, for lack of a better expression, the Disney way, in that
they make noises, but they're not words.
The Disney way, in that, you know, Cinderella is always going to sound like Cinderella, whether she is at the park or in a video game or in a movie. Her voice is going to be consistent. Clearly, it's because they have her coming into the studio and recording for all of those products in between park appearances.
Cinderella 6, the slipper comes back or whatever.
Right. And she's going to sound exactly the same as she did in her first film because she's a hardworking actress, and why shouldn't she sound exactly the same? I would want to see that, you know, if Link started talking, whatever voice they went with, or, you know, if they went with a different voice for realistic Link as for...
You know what I'm going to say now.
Don't do it.
For Link, yes, we know what his voice sounds like, and you know what he says.
We're just going to move forward.
Oh, the threat is palpable in the air.
We're just going to move forward. I would want, you know, across products for Link's voice, whatever they decided it to be, to remain consistent.
But
and,
wait,
you know, again, if you know, Toon Link had a different voice than Twilight Princess Link, you know, that's fine. But every time that kind of character model appeared, I would want it to be consistent.
But I remember in some games, they talk but not talk. You know, they go, blah, 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 blah.
That's kind of what Link does. Goes, hah, hah, hah.
You know, the old teacher from Peanuts, you know, wah, 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 you know. I guess I prefer a voiced one if it's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, look for our show.
But whether or not they have a voice, I guess I would just want them to have something meaningful to say.
Okay.
Come on, that was deep.
Yeah. Navel deep. Look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast or send your comments to fans@GamingPodcast.net. Actually, we prefer you subscribe to us on iTunes and leave some iTunes comments, and you can follow me and Paul at Jonah Falcon and at StagerMonkey.
StagerMonkey.
Mickey Mouse. Oh. you know, I have not seen the Mickey Mouse Club in 40 years.
That's okay. Nobody's on there. There's anybody else.
Really? It's no longer around?
I don't think so.
I could have sworn they... Is it now fully House of Mouse?
House of Mouse hasn't been on for years.
You see, that's how up-to-date I am on Disney.
House of Mouse is a completely different show.
Did they ever get the sequel to The Rescuers? The Rescuers Down Under? Did it come out yet?
What are you talking about? You're so weird. Why are you this weird?
Yeah, actually, there was something about Disney, and I completely forgot about it. There was news this week about Disney, and it had nothing to do with Star Wars. It had something to do with the Disney properties, and I completely forgot it. It had nothing to do with Infinity 3.0 either. Oh, well. Yeah, so, anyways, we will see you in a couple of days when we're at E3, and we'll be discussing what we see there. There will be no podcast notes, just the two of us talking about E3, as we're at E3.
Probably.
Yeah. So, anyways, we will see you next week, and we will hopefully have some really interesting experiences from the show floor.
Here's hoping.
Okay, see you next week.
Bye.